Good morning, friends. We are eager and delighted. I'm sure you can already feel the energy in the space to worship with you this morning on Children's Ministry Sunday. And Allie is going to get us started, so go for it, Allie.
Today, the kids of First Baptist Church, are leading worship. We like to lead worship and be the pastors. We're glad you're here with us. In the space and at home, please fill out the connection card in your bulletin and put it in the offering plate later in the service. You can also fill it out online. During the first hymn, we'll walk down the aisles and receive any prayers you may have. You can use the prayer card in your pew to share any concerns or joys you have. Please join Jacob and Amelia for the call to worship.
Perfect. Okay, Jacob and Amelia.
We are here because of Jesus and God.
We want to love them and mourn about them.
We are also here to show love to one another.
Let's do this.
This is our opening prayer in church school. We always start with this song to help us get ready to listen to God's voice of love, ready to listen to our friends, and ready to pay attention to our own hearts too. Here is how we sing the song with our hands.
Is still and know, I am thine. Is still and know, I
Now we invite you to sing with us and do the hand motions as well. We'll sing it once through, then we'll hum it, then we'll do it silently, only praying with our hands.
please join us in reading the responsive psalm?
Praise the Lord.
Mountains and all hills.
Fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all cattle.
Creeping things and flying birds.
Leaders and all peoples.
Rulers of the earth.
All of us together,
grown-ups, teens, and children, let's praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand and by your spirit. Little children, I am only with you for a little longer. I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I love you. You also should love one another. By everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The word of God for people of God.
This is
puppets.
Puppets. What is so fun about puppets?
You can make puppet shows.
You can make puppet shows.
You can act them out
in any way you
want.
You can do whatever you want with them. I can make this one say, "Hello, kids of First Baptist," and I can have this one say, "Woof," or is that a pole? No. You think so? You can make it whatever you want. That's the fun thing about puppets. Maybe it is a wolf. Can you all go, a wolf sound? So this is the thing about puppets. We can decide what the puppet does. And what the puppet... Oh, yeah. And what the puppets say. But now here, I have a question for you. Oh, we can make them kiss. That's a little, let's see. They're not facing each other. This one's going to kiss the back of this one. The back of the head. There we go. Yes, you can control what they do. Now, we hear from Jesus today. Jesus says, it is your job to love one another. Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to make you love one another. Like, Tess, you're my puppet. Or, Emery, you're my puppet, and I'm going to tell you exactly what to... Wait, is that what Emma just read? No. Emma and her friend Zoe are going to share a little bit today about some things they've been thinking about what does it mean to love one another or to be a good community for each other. And it doesn't say, oh, here's the deal. Jesus bosses us what to do, and Jesus makes us do it like we're a puppet. Are we puppets?
Yeah.
No, we get to... We are not puppets. No. We get to make our own choices. We get to make our own choices. We get to decide what we want to say or who we want to hug and kiss. And so here's the thing I want you to think about. We have some choices to make. Emma wrote something really important today. She wrote it a couple weeks ago, but we're going to share it today, and it's all about ways to show love. I also want to share this with you. This is a book that's written by Bishop Desmond Tutu. Wait one second. It's called God's Dream, and it's all about the choices we make. So I'm going to read it to you so you can think about how we're not puppets, but God does ask us to do certain things. Dear child of God, what do you dream about in your loveliest of dreams? Do you dream about flying high or rainbows reaching across the sky? Do you dream about being free to do what your heart desires or about being treated like a full person, no matter how young you might be? Do you know what God dreams about? If you close your eyes and look with your heart, I'm sure, dear child, that you will find out. Simeon. God dreams about people sharing. That's a choice. God dreams about people caring. That shows up in Emma's. That's a choice. God dreams that we reach out and hold one another's hands and play one another's games and laugh with one another's hearts. Ooh, I like that. But God does not force us to be friends or to love one another. We are not puppets. We are not God's puppets. Dear child of God, it does happen that we get angry and hurt one another, and soon we start to feel sad and alone. Sometimes we cry, and God cries with us. And when we say we're sorry and forgive one another, we wipe away our tears, and God's tears too. Each of us carries a piece of God's heart within us. And when we love one another, the pieces of God's heart are made whole. God dreams that every one of us will see that we are all brothers and sisters, siblings, yes, you and me. If we all have different mommies and daddies or live in different faraway lands, we are all siblings. Even if we speak different languages or have different ways of talking to God, even if we have different eyes or different skin, even if you're taller and I'm smaller, even if your nose is little and mine is large, dear child of God, do you know how to make God's dream come true? It's really quite easy. Amelia thinks it might be about friendship. It's as easy and hard work as sharing, loving, caring, holding, playing, laughing. As easy as knowing we are family and friends because we are all God's children. Will you help God's dream come true? Let me tell you a secret. God smiles like a rainbow when you do. So we have choices to make. Galen is noticing that the rainbow is all hands.
And dog prints.
Oh, yeah, and dog prints. Good. All right, we're going to listen to some music from Allie. Is it you, Allie, or is it Teresa? Is it Allie? Huh?
Allie.
Let's look and see. I think Allie's after. Special music. It's Teresa and Jane. Teresa and Jane, would you come down now here by the piano? And kiddos, would you scoot your bodies so we can see and listen to the music? And then the younger class will head to church school. Oh, and I have a gift of this book for you. I'll give you after church. Ha! Here's this. You all get to take a book home. Help me remember after church. Jane, wait one second. As we all get settled so we can hear you well, we're going to come over here and sit down. Thank you, Teresa and Jane, for playing that. Jane, we're especially grateful that you're here today. All right, kiddos, if you are in godly play, you're going to head to church school with Miss Ellie. So that's those of you that are in pre-K through first grade. You can just leave it right there. Go ahead and head out with Miss Ellie. Good. Perfect. I was talking with Valerie, and she shared with me something that Emma had written. Emma was thinking through, what does it mean, in some sense, to love one another? What does it mean to be a friend? What does it mean to help be a part of a good world? And as you heard Emma already share in the reading, Jesus says to us, love one another. Love one another. And so today, for our sermon, we're going to hear pieces of what Emma wrote and stories shared for each of those pieces so we can really think carefully about what does it mean to love one another. So, as the kids were calling her yesterday, Pastor Emma is going to share with you now the gospel according to Emma. And it's so good. So, and we also have Zoe, Emma's friend, and they were working on these ideas together to try to figure out what does friendship look like and feel like. So, Emma, would you go ahead and share your poem?
If you want to have a good life, you should do these five things. One, be kind and caring. Two, be respectful. Three, pick ideas that are good. Four, stand up for people who are hurt. Five, let others do their ideas.
If life is bad, life is bad. But you can choose if life is good or bad. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing. You hear those words about choosing. We have some decisions to make about those five things. Great. Would you take your binders and you come back down and listen? Thank you. All right. Sandy Bauma is going to share about that first thing Emma said, to be kind and caring. Yeah.
Thank you, Emma, for getting us started. That was wonderful. So we have all have different ways that we like to show and receive love. Maybe you've heard of the five love languages made famous by Gary Chapman: giving gifts, acts of service, words of affirmation, spending quality time together, and physical touch. And when we think about giving and receiving love and care and kindness, we generally think about how people provide that for us and we provide it for them. But what if care and kindness can also be given and received from the natural world? We take care of our world when we recycle, or plant a garden, or fight to protect green spaces and clean water. But what we might not always realize is that our natural world also cares for us. Let's take a look at the five love languages and think of some ways that our world cares for us. Well, first of all, our world gives us a gift every time we take a breath. The trees and the phytoplankton in the ocean give us oxygen. We depend on this gift every moment, every day. And each time we eat, it's because the world gave us an act of service. Trees die and decay so that they become soil that nourishes plants that become our food. We can feel affirmation when we climb a mountain, or capture a sunset photo at just the right moment, or swim across the lake for the first time. We can spend quality time with nature by going for a walk in the woods and listening to birds, or strolling on the beach looking for shells. But does nature also give us physical affection? I've often wondered how people who live alone and whose love language is physical touch get to feel affection if no one is around. Maybe it's as simple as stepping outside on a breezy day, closing your eyes, and feeling the soft breeze gently brush your cheek. Maybe it's walking into a lake or a stream, submerging your body and feeling the water hug you. One time, when I was gazing at a pond in the woods and feeling kind of sad, I absentmindedly put down my hand and unexpectedly found myself holding hands with a tree. It was like the small tree knew I was sad and reached out a branch to take my hand. I stood there and smiled, holding hands with a tree. I felt amused and comforted. I felt loved. So, if you're ever in need of some care and kindness, I invite you to slow down and pay attention to the way the world loves you.
All right, y'all. Hi, my name is Pony Bush. I agree with the five ideas in the name for living a good life. I think they are really good. Zan asked me to talk about number two, be respectful. The main way to be respectful is to treat others the way you want to be treated. I sell ground cover newspapers during the week near Little Roddy at the corner of 4th Avenue, Washington. I am selling paper. I like it when people smile at me. I also like it when they ask me how many. I also like it when they ask me how my day is going or when they leave. They say something like, have a good day. I also like it when people buy a paper. When you arrive at church on Sunday mornings, I do the same thing. I like to say good morning to you. I know a lot of your names, and I like to hear about how you're doing. If I know you have a birthday coming up, I always make sure to say happy birthday. Sometimes if I haven't seen you for a while, I might ask where you've been. I think one way to show respect for people is to know their names, to know what is going on in their lives, and to ask questions. To show respect for my friends, I look out for them. I got their back, and when they need help, I help them. Sometimes this means I give them money, and sometimes I watch their kids for free. I also give them space when they need it. Emma said that we can make choices. It is a choice to be respectful. We choose to listen to others. We choose to think before we say something and before we act. Our impulses sometimes are not respectful. We choose to be patient with people when they are having a hard time. We choose to show up for other people. We choose when we keep it real. We choose to walk away when that's needed to do. We need to. We can always get better at respecting people. Maybe as we get older and more mature, we get better at it. Not always, though. Like Emma said, we get to make choices. And if we want to have a good life, then we should respect others. And like I said at the beginning, treating others the way you want to be treated really covers it all. That good or what?
Perfect. Yeah, you can leave there. Thanks for all the things you just taught us about being respectful. All right, second through fifth graders, I invite you to come up. We're going to be the next part of this sermon bit here. So Miss Sandy was sharing about being kind and caring. Mr. Pony was sharing about what does it mean to be respectful. And the third thing Emma said is pick ideas that are good. And so I'm wondering if we can just do some brainstorm together for ideas that are good. What makes an idea good? If we're going to choose an idea to do, what makes it good? It's usefulness, what it helps us accomplish. Yeah? Okay? What were you going to say, Simeon? If it includes video games, that feels like a good idea. Yeah? Sure? Okay. Allie, what are you thinking?
It's creativity.
It's creativity. Usefulness, video games, things we enjoy that are fun for us, and whether it's creative, how much creativity? Yeah, can you say it louder? A good idea might be good because it includes others. It's teamwork. Can you think of some things that you guys do as teamwork? What are some things you do in life that you're doing as teamwork? Yeah.
Maybe you got assigned to a school project.
Mm-hmm. School projects. Yeah. Okay, group work at school. Lyra, what are you thinking about?
Playing games.
Playing games is teamwork. There's a lot of teamwork in playing games. Yeah. Okay, so usefulness, creativity, video games, other things we think are fun, if it involves teamwork. Are sometimes good ideas also hard ideas? Are they hard things? Sometimes they're challenges. Are they sometimes things we don't want to do?
Yes.
I would like it if all good ideas were only fun ideas or only pleasant and pleasurable. But sometimes good ideas are also hard when you have to speak the truth to somebody, maybe a friend or a teacher or another grown-up in your life. Sometimes we have to say things, and it feels kind of hard to say them, but we need to say them anyway. So lots of ideas. Okay, so can we repeat those? What do we all say? Teamwork, creativity, video games. What other things are fun for us? Video games. What other things do you guys like for fun that are pleasure, that are part of the good? Yeah, go on. Eating. Eating is a good idea. Yeah, what else?
Tape.
Like tape that we pull off and use? Oh, I love using tape, too. I also love the smell of tape. Yes, okay. What else are you thinking? What do you like to use or do? Oh, the smell of Sharpies. Yeah. Do you know, when I was a kid, they also had all the markers that smelled like fruit. What are you thinking, Jane? So doing a team sport, working towards a goal together. So that's a little bit about what you said is the usefulness. You're doing something together. You have a similar goal, and you get to do it with people. I like doing things with people, too. Gwen? Drawing. Yeah. What else?
Movie night, game night
with your family. Time with your family. All right, James, and then we'll wrap it up. James, what do you think it is a good idea? Feeding your pets. Doing household tasks are an important part of doing good ideas. Yeah, so I invite you to be thinking about that, what Emma said, that part of us making choices to live in a world that's good for us and good for others and therefore also good for God means making a choice about good ideas to follow, good choices and ideas to make. So let's be thinking about that as one way of showing up and loving one another. Okay, our next statement on Emma's poem about the good world is number 4, standing up for people who are hurt. So I'm going to invite the Sewells to come up and share about that. What does it mean to stand up for people who are hurt? The rest of us can go have a seat and listen. And you guys can sit on the pews now if you'd like. There's room.
Hello. All right, hi all. So we show God's love by standing up for people who are hurt. And we can do this in a lot of different ways, whether as kids in school, or as a college lecturer, or as a nurse, or in our cases also as union members. And we're part of unions as a way to help us stand up for people in our community, the people we serve in our jobs, and the people we work alongside to make sure they have enough and are safe and strong so they can serve others too.
So there are an awful lot of things that need addressed in the world and an awful lot of ways that we can get involved. You can't do all of the things, but all of us can do something. So we ran across a quote this week that we've talked about a little bit in our family. I'm going to read it to you guys. You cannot love your neighbor while supporting or accepting systems that crush, exploit, and dehumanize them. You cannot love your neighbor while accepting less for them and their family than you do for you and your own. We were kind of talking about what it means to help our neighbors and show up for people this week, and we thought about a time that Simeon got our family involved with a way to help each other. So we're going to tell you that story. Seems to go perfectly. Okay. Sim, do you remember that story that we were talking about? We wrote some things down here. You want to tell a little bit about that story, and I'll help you out?
Okay. I'm in second grade. Me and my friends found out that our teachers needed help. They needed to be paid enough money to take care of the families, and they needed more resources to be able to take care of us at school. The people in power wouldn't listen to them. Some teachers were even getting fired. There was a big meeting with the school board, so I asked Mom and Dad if we could go help, because our teachers were asking people to come. A bunch of kids came and grown-ups. We made signs and did big chants together to make sure everyone could hear us.
So we brought some of those signs that we made. Teresa and Jane, could you guys hold those up to show people the signs we made? So that was one way that we were able to help. Our teachers told us they needed us there, so we believed them, we listened, we showed up, and we added our voices to theirs. Do you remember any of the chants that we did while we were there?
Yeah.
Can you share one with us?
If teachers are outside, there's something wrong inside.
If teachers are outside, there's something wrong inside. Now, say that one more time.
If teachers are outside, there's something wrong inside.
Did everybody hear that with just one voice saying it? I wonder if it would be a little bit louder if we added everybody's voice to that, because that's what our teachers asked us to do. They asked us to add their voice, our voices, to theirs. So how about we say the first part, if teachers are outside, and maybe our church family can add their voice to the second part. There's something wrong inside. Okay, ready?
If teachers are outside,
there's something wrong inside.
Oh, we can do better than that. A little bit louder, y'all.
If teachers are outside,
there's something wrong inside.
So we were talking about this again this morning, and Simeon said, Mom, did it work? You know what, y'all, it did. Every single one of the teachers that got fired got their job back. Did it fix all of the problems?
Nope.
Yeah, there's still work to be done, and we're still doing that work, and still showing up for our teachers in the ways that they're asking us to. So that was a really good lesson for us. We're showing up how we can. We know it won't fix all the problems, and we know that was kind of not the point. The point was to show up and believe the people who asked us to.
And so this is a taste of one way that we stand up and stand beside other people. But every interaction can be a way to do that. We should all think about how our time at work or at school or at the store becomes a space to stand up for those who are hurt. And when people say they need help, we show God's love by listening, by believing them, and by adding our voices to theirs.
Hello, everybody. I'm just grateful for this opportunity. I'm grateful that Zan is one of those people who just sees children as human and sees them as possessing of wisdom for us. The way she has inspired me to see the good in my children and the possibility in my children has really changed my life. So I'm just so grateful. It's making me emotional just thinking about the fact that they centered just the center of the service around something that my daughter was processing, and is just really beautiful. So as I was thinking about what it means to let other people do their ideas, because I think I kind of know the backstory of what Emma was, what she was working through when she was writing that. She was working through just being a friend to other people at school and what it means to listen to other people, to be listened to. And, you know, it's a really tricky dance we have in our world where we have ideas that we're developing ourselves, but we're in community with other people who have different ideas. And I was just struck thinking about the scripture, little children, Jesus is telling them, this is the commandment I leave with you. And Jesus is really relinquishing control in that moment. This was his last night with his followers, his very last time to speak with them. And he wasn't going to stay and be a puppet master, like they talked about in Time as Children. He was giving the world up to them and saying, I'm leaving you with these guidelines to love. But, you know, relinquishing control is one of the hardest pieces, I think, of being human. And in particular, I've experienced the need to relinquish control in my relationships, particularly in parenting. My kids are young, real young, and many of you have many years on me in experience of learning how to relinquish control. But Emma has been one of my best teachers, and parenting and loving her has been really transformative for me in every way, because it's made me wrestle with what it means to let other people do their ideas. And so these are just some things I've worked through both in my relationships with my kids and with my parents and with other people around me, some principles that I come to embrace for letting other people do their ideas. And one of them is seek to understand first before being understood. I know here in church we're going through a lot of transition and we're wrestling with what it means to give everyone a voice at the table. And I think one of the principles that has been good for me in relationships is trying to understand someone else's perspective first before I need to explain my own. Another principle is recognizing and naming your emotional triggers. I think a lot of times when we're in community with others and we're sharing things, stuff can bring up, the things that other people say can bring up things in us. And this happens in my relationship with Emma sometimes. She'll say something and it will bring up, like, I'll get frustrated or I'll start to feel attacked or start to feel a little bit like prickly inside. And what it helps sometimes is for me to take a step back and say, you know what, that really made me frustrated, or I'm feeling really angry right now, or I'm feeling whatever. And when you can let other people into your emotions instead of just shutting down or instead of reacting, if you can name that, it can be a real benefit. Another principle is hold to and be upfront with your values, but make space for legitimate differences. And I think being really clear in our relationship with others about, this is what I value, but I can see that you also value this, and we're going to be upfront with naming that instead of just letting it be below the surface. Don't just throw up your hands and shake your head when other people make different choices. Cheer for their success and support them as much as you're able to. Let them know that they're safe to share anything with you and that the relationship is not on the line. Of course, there might be times when people make choices that you have to set boundaries with. But in general, especially I'm thinking in the parent-child relationship, when a child makes a decision that you might not understand, being willing to say, like, I'm on your side and I'm on your team and I'm going to, the relationship is not on the line. And then recognize the human and the image of God in each person and speak love over them even when you express differences. I think one of the benefits I've had in relationships with people is when, even if they disagree with me, they can say to me, I see your heart in this, and I really appreciate where this is coming from for you. And then finally, just trust in the love of Jesus for the people you love. Jesus is our greatest hope. We're created in God's image, and I believe that God's never finished with anybody. God's never done writing people's stories.
To wrap up those stories of what does it mean to love one another, can we all read together Emma's words? Emma, can we do that together? You'll find it in your bulletin, those words about what does it mean? What choices are we making to love one another? So let's read it together. If you want to have a good life, you should do these five things. 1, be kind and caring. 2, be respectful. 3, pick ideas that are good. 4, stand up for people who are hurt. 5, let others do their ideas. If life is bad, life is bad. But you can choose if life is good or bad. Amen.
Prayers of the people today, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to sing, Lord, Listen to Your Children Pray. After we sing it once, one of us will pray while Miss Shanae plays the piano quietly. We'll sing the song again as a refrain, and we'll continue to do so after each time we pray.
Thank you.
pray for those that we know to pray for by name. We pray for Marlene Francis, John Vandervliet, for Grange Burnside, for Pidgey Caroli, for David Gregg, Joan Blunt, Becky Lepley, for Bob Reynolds, Rob Snyder, Roberta Hawes, Mervyn Newkartz, Esther Floyd, Catherine Carty. We pray for Chuck Suits, Linda Berg, Marilyn Marsh, and Dakota Lawson. We pray for Bill Nummy, Helga Mortensen, Lindsay Grace, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, and Faye Key.
Thank you. us and to all matters. May these gifts of ours matter too. May the world look and sound more like your love. You are making all things new. Amen.
Want to take a minute to say thank you to the incredible team we have that supports these incredible children. We've got Michelle, who leads the children's choir with Charlie. Michelle and Charlie, we're so thankful for you. Thank you for all the ways you communicate love through music and your time together. Grateful for you. Really grateful for Christina, who is up with the littles, and she's up there now with them, and she may be able to hear us, but she may not. But thank you to Christina for being with the littles. And we have a huge volunteer team of, I don't know, like 25, 27 teens and adults who make children's ministry possible each week, and I feel so privileged to be able to work with them. So, big thanks to all the church school teachers. And so now we offer this benediction for you, as you, a blessing for you as you leave from this space.
You are beloved
children of God.